afternoon, New York sports fans. I am Danielle McCartan, and we will be talking all things New York sports up until 9 p.m. right here in New York City and beyond. So thanks for tuning in. You've got a changing of the guard at 6 p.m. Nick Theodoro set us up for Connor Green to take us home here tonight. We are live in Lower Manhattan, 888-808-1019. Call me up, be part of the conversation, and thank you for making me and us part of your 4th of July holiday. And I hope you're grilling up something good, or you found the perfect spot at the fireworks in your town, or, you know, in your backyard. Put it in reverse, Terry! Put it in reverse! Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Now look, Yankees just lost a clunker, and we got to talk about the starting pitching that is of the New York Yankees at the moment. There isn't a starter listed for the 4th game against the Tampa Bay Rays, next week. I think it's Wednesday. Whatever the last game is, there's no starter listed. You got Carlos Rodon now, as of, what, yesterday, down and out. You got Brandon Beck, who was pitching for that spot in the rotation today. It was right there in front of him. Well, you saw how today went for him. 3 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, and as many home runs given up as strikeouts recorded. 3. And Beck, it was not good. He was spooked out of the strike zone by midway through the second inning. He was sent back to AAA less than an hour after the game ended. And this can only mean one thing. You see, Carlos Rodon was supposed to pitch today, but as we all know, he did not. He said his elbow has been bothering him for a couple weeks. I paraphrase that. He said that the imaging showed no damage to the UCL, just inflammation. Okay, so he's going to get a PRP injection, and he cannot pick up a ball. My words, not his. My words, he cannot pick up a ball for at least a week. Well, that's encouraging, but it does not mask the lack of depth and the question marks in this rotation that the Yankees seem to have found themselves having at this moment in time. Like today, the 4th of July, Independence Day, should have marked, you know, been a line of demarcation where Brian Cashman looks at this team from wherever he's watching the game. Right now, in the present moment, where Brian Cashman takes a look at the impending work stoppage next season, a look ahead. And he says to himself, you know what? At this deadline, I am pushing all the chips in. And then you're hoping, I'm hoping anyway, that Brian Cashman picks up the phone, dials the area code 313. You know where I'm going with this. It's Detroit. Dials 313 Tigers, because today is an indication that with Judge and Stanton's return nowhere circled on the calendar, like, the New York Yankees need Tarik Skubal in this rotation. And look, nobody ever expects a pitching rotation to be and to stay uninjured throughout the course of any given season. But, and that's a big but, Max Fried still doesn't have a timeline or a day to return, and he hasn't pitched since May 13th. And I know tomorrow he's going to face some live batters. My understanding is he's going to face some more live batters towards the end of next week. And then he'll have a rehab assignment. And then how many could be plural? I don't know. Well, that pushes him back until after the All-Star break. I would say at least a week at minimum after the All-Star break's over. So that's the end of July. That's Max Fried. You got Carlos Rodon, 15 days from June 30th. I counted it. 15 days is on July 14th. That is the date of the All-Star game. Will he be ready to come back? Will he need another shot of PRP? Nobody knows. And also, will he and the Yankees now have to manage this throughout the rest of the regular season and, dare I say it, into the postseason? Like, this was not an acute injury. It wasn't a broken bone or et cetera. This was ongoing. It has been ongoing. So are they going to have to continue to manage this? And the workload moving forward? We're not even halfway through the season yet. You got Clark Schmidt. Forgot about Clark Schmidt, didn't you? He's still, quote, weeks away from facing live hitters. Then you got the Will Warren roller coaster. He had zero earned runs on May 31st. In every start since then, Will Warren has allowed no less than 2 earned runs every outing after May 31st, after that zero he put up on May 31st. Then you got the Ryan Weathers roller coaster. 0 earned runs on May 24th. Hasn't happened like Warren. It hasn't happened since a zero there. And sometimes it's been 1 for Ryan Weathers. Earned run, per outing. But more often than not, it has been 5 and 6 earned runs allowed for Ryan Weathers. Like, I don't like roller coasters. And I don't want to be on the Will Warren or Ryan Weathers roller coaster either. And furthermore, you can now couple all of this with the fact that Carlos LaGrange, the Yankees number 4 overall prospect and 85 overall in baseball, he's been shut down for at minimum 6 weeks. It's called a capsular strain in his right throwing shoulder. Minimum 6 weeks. Luis Gil, remember him? He's dealing with inflammation. There's no return time frame for him either, even to the AAA level. So this is all great. And as you can see, the Yankees have a depth concern at starting pitcher all of a sudden. And I think making a move for Tarek Skubal with the larger picture in mind is worth it. Especially with all these guys on the shelf for extended periods of time with no exact date and timetable for return. And with the reinforcements even out of commission. Because when you're relying on Brandon Beck to put together back-to-back wins for your team for the first time since June 23rd and 24th, you're reaching. And when you've got exceptional pitching, it makes the terrible hitting almost bearable. And the big pitcher I was talking about, Gerrit Cole is going to be 36 years old in September. Aaron Judge right now is going to be, he is 34 years old. And then you add in a potential for a long or even a minimum lockout next season. There's no way to me, by the way, side note, there's no way to me that this next season is going to start on time whatsoever at all. The two sides to me are entirely too far apart on fundamental issues. So you can factor in a potential maybe season-long lockout next season. But my message is this. You have to get it done while you can, Brian Cashman. You have to make the move. You have to bring in Skubal to the Bronx, and you have to stabilize this rotation in the process of that. It has to happen. The legacy of, most particularly, Aaron Judge depends on it. Can you imagine if this guy never wins a World Series ring after all of the individual accolades and things that he has put up? 62 home runs. I mean, my question to Cashman is, when are you going to start making roster decisions with the legacy of Aaron Judge in mind? Because now is the time. It's past the time. But even now, Tarek Skubal's the move. Welcome to New York. Like, it can't happen soon enough. I want you to imagine the Yankees in the World Series, a rotation of Max Fried, Cam Schlittler, Gerrit Cole and Tarek Skubal in whatever order you want to put them in. I mean, tell me who's beating that team. Nobody. But even more eminently, like, the Yankees have a 4-game, which I think is an extremely pivotal series against Tampa coming up starting Monday. You've got Schlittler in game 1, Warren game 2, Cole game 3, and then in game 4, you've got nobody. Nobody is listed, and that is a problem. Because to me, the AL East looks like it's a 2-team race. Like, how much different would the standings look if these Yankees, still playing shorthanded, take 3 of 4 from the race? Okay, maybe overly optimistic, but it all starts with the team as currently constructed. And let's round out and look at what happened today. I got 3 takeaways from today. Number 1, the pitching from the first inning to the 9th inning, abysmal. Like, Beck clearly not the answer in the back end of that depleted rotation. He's back on the shuttle to Scranton as we speak. Like, it was a preview of the home run derby happening in, what, 10 days' time, 9 days' time. It was just like a home run derby in the first inning, just watching him. In fact, watching all of them, the Yankees gave up 6 home runs today. The most this season so far, and that to me is just simply inexcusable. 7 of the Twins' 11 runs were off the home run, based on my count. 7 of the 11 runs were strictly off the home run. All 6 of them. Look at the score. 11-4. What's the difference in that? Should have been a 4-4 tie. Technically. But Beck, I mean, he changed the complexion of his game from the outset. He put the Yankees down 5-0 before he even left the game. 5-0 even just before the end of the second inning. Flat out inexcusable. Dude's not ready for the big time. And Camilo Duvall. I mean, this guy, he's supposed to be a difference maker in that bullpen. He's been a difference maker in the opposite direction, in the wrong way. He's got a 5.40 ERA over his last 6 2/3 innings pitched. I mean, that too is completely unacceptable. Defensively today, the Yankees were not sharp. Like, and that's my number 2 takeaway from today. The defense was not sharp. I mean, I just point to any number of things. How about Jazz's error that opened the door to a long 8th inning? Like, after it was up, he was looking at the ball like it was the ball's fault. Then you got Austin Wells shortly there. Sure, Austin Wells trying to throw a base stealer out at second base. He made a throw so far to the wrong side of the bag. Volpe had absolutely no chance to tag that guy out. None. Zero. Then you got McMahon. Oh, McMahon, known for his defense, right? Not so much the bat, but the defense. Made a nice play on an in-between hop grounder, right? Airmailed it. Airmailed it. Took Rice off the bag. By the time he landed, the runner was safe. And then McMahon was looking at his glove like the glove was the problem. The defense was not sharp today. The pitching was abysmal today. And number 3, when I look at this box score, okay, Yankees finished with 7 hits, 2 of which were home runs, and they scored 4 runs. You look at that without looking at the top half of that, and you say, you know, that might be enough to get it done. But obviously not, given everything else that happened in this game. And speaking of, I mean, what the hell happened in the 6th inning? You had Volpe single. Jazz eked out a bunt down the third baseline that tapped the bag fair. Then you had McMahon who grounded out, but it was a productive out because both runners now advanced into scoring position. And we're not talking like base-clogging runners either. You got Volpe at third, Jazz at second. Schumann walks, loads the bases. There's 1 out, bases loaded, bottom of the 6th inning. Okay? Oh, and by the way, the score was 6-4 Minnesota at this point. You have Rosario pinched hit for Sanchez, which I like the move. That was the right string to pull if you're Aaron Boone. But man, Rosario, what are you doing, man? It, again, 6-4 situation. They're losing. And based on the 6 pitches that he saw, Rosario saw in that at bat, 4 of them, 4 of them were out of the zone. Rosario should have walked. Should have been a run score. Run scoring walk. Make the game 6-5. Keep the bases loaded. With 1 out. Instead, Rosario swung at strike 3 that was halfway into the opposite batter's box. I mean, where is your focus, Ahmed Rosario? What game are you watching? I mean, what were you looking at? And then, I'm literally scratching my head at the moment, Goldschmidt for Grisham. My question is, why? Grisham came back yesterday. He had a fantastic day yesterday that was jump-started by a home run in his first at-bat. Goldschmidt, on the other hand, 0-for-4 yesterday with a strikeout. The game before that, he was 0-for-4 with a strikeout. The game before that one, 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. Aaron Boone says, I'm going to bring him in cold off the bench, and I'm going to substitute out a guy that has been rolling. My question is, where does that factor in? The fact that Goldschmidt was 0-for-12 with four strikeouts over his past three games. Where does that factor in to the data substitution spreadsheet, Boone? And I know Nick clipped it before, Connor, if we have it. He was asked about it after the game. Meredith, from the jump, she always gets the first couple questions. She asked him about this particular scenario and had the follow-up that everybody was asking about, or I guess that I was asking about. She asked him the follow-up, too, about that. So, Connor, go ahead and roll it.
I'm going to take Goldie against the lefty there. Two outs with him loaded. Our shot to really either grab the game or, down two. Just a two-out scenario. Like, I'm taking Goldie there.
He's been on a little bit of a slide over his last 20, I believe, heading into that at bat. Mm-hmm. Now 0-for-22. Do you take that into consideration at all?
Not against a lefty like that.
And then he finished with, come on. Lefty, righty. I mean, how about the factor that, like, Grisham's hot, Goldschmidt's not at the moment. Where does that factor in? It doesn't. There is no calculation for that. So therefore, it doesn't matter. It doesn't calculate. That's what he's telling us. That's so wrong. That's just so wrong, man. So wrong. It's putting your, even Goldschmidt's sake, it's putting him in a position he's not likely to succeed. I'm keeping Grisham in that at bat. I am. And then, again, another question mark. Why not just push Doval back out there to clean up the mess? Why do you put Hedrick in? Down 7 runs in the top of the 9th. Like, my question is, are you punting on tomorrow's game, too? Like, what a waste of one of the most dependable guys in a bullpen. And these are not my words. They're Paul O'Neill's words. Now, what would have been the third out, too, in that, the overthrow, the high throw from McMahon we just talked about, would have been the third out. He then had to throw 4 more pitches on top of it all. And from what I heard in the press conference, Boone was not asked that about that directly. Could be wrong, but from what I heard, he wasn't asked about that particular situation. But pinch hitting Goldschmidt for Grisham in that situation, inexcusable. Again, the word of the day seems to be inexcusable. It's just a sloppy day for this team. Today, by the way, they were tied with the most runs allowed so far this season. Hasn't happened since April 16th against the Angels. 11 runs. You aren't going to win much of anything with this kind of effort. I'll say that much. And this kind of decision making. I'll say that much. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. In the order that you called, leading off today's show is going to be Rob, who's calling from Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
How you doing? I think Aaron Boone is getting a little too complacent in doing what he's doing, because the players, he tried every tool he needs, and these guys are great. And he's not using them properly. And I know there's a lot of guys that are they have injuries, but so do other teams. And he is not managing properly, in my opinion.
Do you have an example?
Well, what happened today?
Yeah. I mean, other than today.
Well, every day. They're losing. They're losing.
Look,
he's the manager. He's supposed to direct.
Yes.
And put people where they belong at the right time. Mm-hmm. He's a manager. He's a director.
Yes.
And he's not doing his job properly. The guys are out there, but they're losing faith because they're not. It's not coordinated properly.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. Aaron Boone is a great manager. I just think he's had too much time with the New York Yankees, and they need a new face to run them.
Well, isn't it funny, Rob, that Joe Girardi won a World Series with this team and had less time in total with the team than Aaron Boone has, and he hasn't won anything. you know, World Series-wise, tally-wise. But I hear you. I get it. You know, and I also understand the other side of this. Like, okay, you've had your, until today or yesterday, you've had your center fielder out. You've had your third baseman out. You have your right fielder out, who, by the way, is in my opinion, the best player in the game, in the sport, in the game of baseball. He's out. You have your designated hitter out. So that's four starters out of your lineup of nine. I understand it. I get it. But when you make decisions like you did today, where you pinch hit Grisham for Goldschmidt because Goldschmidt is better against lefties, like, what? Like, that to me doesn't make any sense. Like, you have to manage the game, and this is an age-old conversation about Boone. We've had it before. Yeah, I mean, he knows the game of baseball. He grew up around the game of baseball. And yet, he still can't manage with his gut. Doesn't your gut tell you that Grisham has a higher percent chance of doing something positive in that situation than Goldschmidt does, just based on how they performed over the past couple? And I know Grisham was only playing yesterday, but he had a great game yesterday. Goldschmidt has been on a slide, as Meredith followed up with, and good on her part. Boone said, he cut her off. He said, not against the lefty like that. Yeah. And that was the end of it. And then you've got, and I want to talk about this a little later, but then you've got, you know, Aaron Judge calling out the team's motivation, calling out, or at least drawing attention to, we'll put it that way, the motivation of the team, the focus of the team. Was that, in the most Judgian way possible, trying to hold everybody accountable, including the manager? I think it was. 888-808-1009. We're just getting rolling here on this 4th of July. My name is Danielle McCartan. I'll be back with you right on the other side of this break.